This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome into another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing. We have a lot of really cool things to get to this week on the program. Mike, how are you? What's new in Houston?
It's great. Hey, the Cougs are in the Final Four. It's a great week.
Yeah, big game coming up today for the Houston Cougars in the city of Houston. Vegas, the weather has finally turned here. We actually are feeling like a March in Houston, or March in Vegas, rather, because it's been cold here. So we're getting into April, and my birthday is tomorrow, and so we're finally getting some nice weather. So I'm going to be excited to kind of see what we go through here. But we got a lot of things to get through today on the program. Reviews will come up. Obviously, we got that for you guys. News and notes segment. And we saw pictures of what we talked about last week, Mike, with the Jeep and the potential to have a charging station at a trailhead.
Yeah.
I mean, the pictures are wild. Really
wild. That is so cool. And our interview this week is even cooler. Brian Grant, the guy, because I had my knee replacement, I sent him to drive the Bugatti Chiron, which is 1,500 horsepower, and your interview is out, his drive with it with one of the guys from Top Gear. So Jamie from Top Gear was with him, and it was, and you can hear his descriptions, and it's really funny. It's really great.
I mean, did he open it up at all?
Yeah, some, but the best he could without getting arrested. But, I mean, this is the vehicle. If you were wide open, you can go from Houston to Austin in less than an hour.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Of course, at wide open throttle, it runs out of fuel in 18 minutes.
That's incredible. That might be the better stat than even going to Houston to Austin in an hour, under an hour, is the fact that if you open it up at full throttle, you only have 18 minutes, and then the car is out of gas. That's incredible. I mean, how fast that thing rips through fuel in order to burn. And it's not just like regular fuel, I'm assuming, right?
It'd be premium, of course, but it's like 261 miles an hour. Come on, you know.
I mean, at some point, you've gone fast in a motorcycle. At some point, does it just kind of all slow down? Like, it doesn't matter?
No, it's crazy. It scares you to death.
Get slow, it's still 260 miles per hour. That's incredible. So we got all that and much more coming up. Our news note segment hits you on the other side. Don't move. It is a Saturday. It is Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing, Matt Perrault, right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It is Let's Talk Wheels here on a Saturday. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. Time to talk some news and notes. Mike, before we do anything, let's just talk about these pictures here for a little bit here for what we've seen for Jeep. When you sent this to me, I didn't really know what to make. I was like, okay, what is this? I opened it. And my goodness, the pictures of what we're going to see in the future for Jeeps, chargeable Jeeps, just the image of an EV for a Jeep, that in itself was awesome. But then seeing the potential to have a solar charging hub, I guess you'd call it, at a trailhead out in the middle of nowhere, because here in Nevada, it looks like, I don't know where that is, but that looks like Nevada when I looked at it. What do you make of this? How soon could we see this?
Soon. I think they're just showing it right now. But I'm imagining it'd be because the vehicle will come out later this year. So I imagine these will all show up probably next year. And they're going to put their level two. They're not level four charger, but they're level two chargers. First one is going to be in Moab, Utah, then a couple in California, Rubicon, all these big, they call them badge of honor trails, which is what Jeep has, that program where if you drive this trail, they'll give you the special plate that fits on your vehicle. It will show that you drove these trails. It's really kind of a cool brotherhood type thing. It's got its own charging network. It's great.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, Moab is something that I need to do, and it's so close. It's so close to me that it's just like, you know, I look at it and I'm like, man, it's really only like 5 or 6 hours from me. if that, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe it's only three or four. It's not a long road up to Utah. I mean, Utah's only an hour and 10 minutes away from me once across the border to get up just into Utah. But then you go through it, you got to go through the Dixie National Forest and into the Canyonlands National Park. But I mean, Utah is gorgeous. And I mean, one of these days I'm going to have to go grab a Jeep and go up there and go through Moab because it's unbelievable territory. It really is cool.
Oh, these chargers are free if you're a Jeep owner. Free.
That's incredible. Did it say how fast the charge would be? If it's level two, it's an hour?
It'll take now about 2 hours for to fill their deal up. And that's not the fastest, but, you know, it's free.
Who cares? In particular, if you're getting ready to go on the trail, right? You don't need a full charge, but you want to like top it off essentially.
Right, right.
Just sit there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes and get the thing done. I mean, it's boy, oh boy, is it cool.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that you and I talked about, our fear of having an EV or even a hybrid on the trail. What if we run out? What if we have this? What if we have that? We have this range anxiety. Well, here it is. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. Well, here it is. You know, yeah. I mean, how cool is that?
I imagine if they're going to put it at Moab, I imagine that they would be looking at somewhere in Vegas.
Oh, they're going to put a bunch of them out. They're starting there. They're going to put them all over the place.
Yeah, because my guess would be they would take a look at Death Valley and they'd take a look at, you know, some of the places in Nevada that they've gone before and had Jeep. You know, there's just so many really cool, you know, Valley mm-hmm. of Fire, or just one in particular, you know, national park that's over here.
Sure,
you go ahead and put a trailhead at that make people really go, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And I guess, I mean, what a cool buyer or customer service option that if you're thinking about buying an EV. And it's, oh yeah, by the way, here's a map of all the electric charging places that you can go and charge your vehicle in the Southwest of the United States or whatever it might be, or in the Northeast, or, you know, in the Southern part, in Texas, whatever. Like it's such a unique buyer benefit that I think it's
amazing.
Brilliant. It's brilliant marketing in my mind. Cause even if you never use it, right. It's one of those things, like even if you never actually use the charger at the trailhead, Just the knowledge that's there is pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Yep. And there'll be a lot of, I mean, there'll be electrified Grand Cherokee. There'll be hybrid, you know, all these versions of all the Jeeps in the next year or two. So it'll be really cool. It'll be really cool.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that with the Jeep EV. Very, very cool. All right. Dodge is coming out. They're working to protect America's most stolen vehicles. Officials are protecting the Dodge Brotherhood. The Dodge Challenger and Dodge Charger might not be the best-selling cars in the United States, but they are often in the spotlight for being among the nation's most stolen vehicles. Now, why is this, Mike? Why do thieves target these two vehicles?
Because it's got the Hemi, and everybody wants those engines, especially the Hellcat, you know, 700 horsepower. Who wouldn't want a 700 horsepower engine? Stick it in yours. And what they're doing, they'll be able to disable the vehicle using the Uconnect infotainment system. So this is an extra feature, and it's free. You just download it. You know, what's funny is my wife, Gina, has the 2018 Ram, and it needed an update of its Uconnect system. And they just said, when do you want to schedule it? She goes, how about Thursday at midnight? They went, okay. And it just, the computer, it said, so it scheduled it. Next morning she gets up and goes, oh, your system's updated. It just
like
did it over the air.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was so cool. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you have to have internet connection to the truck, right?
It just did it all itself.
Huh?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
When she started up the next morning, it said, hey, your system's been updated. I was like, all right, that's all right. That's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 2016 to 2019 Dodge Charger Hemi and the Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat are stolen five times more often than any other vehicle. So that's just for, okay, I get the Dodge Hemi engine and I put it in my whatever vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's just if you don't want the Dodge Charger muscle, but you want the Dodge Charger muscle engine.
Right.
Yes. Yep. Fair.
Yeah. And this new software will limit the engine output to less than 3 horsepower.
Oh my. So this drops it. So you literally, it's a computer.
It'll idle.
Right?
Idle. That's it.
That's it. And then here's a question. Can you get the engine back?
Sure. Let's turn it back on.
No. My point is that if they're able to, if the software is able to disable the engine, essentially, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Could it tell you where it is?
Oh no, they're just saying that they'll get it so they can't steal the car. They can't drive the car away because it won't go over 3 miles an hour. See, when they go to steal your car.
Right. And then they have to go to the shop to get the engine out. You can't like take an engine out on the side of the street. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Going through my brain on that one. So wow, that's very cool. All right. Kate, can we talk about this Volkswagen story? Cause this is really odd. So Volkswagen is debating rebranding to Volkswagen. Now, let's put aside the idea that the VW, the Volkswagen brand. Mike, this is weird to me. Volkswagen?
Yeah.
Seriously?
V-O-L-T-S.
Really? That's what we're doing? Volkswagen?
Yeah, thinking about that. Just the electric vehicle part. Just the EV side. You know, the Volt with a V-O-L-T.
Okay, hold on. So, like, correct me if I'm wrong. So, like, we have the Genesis brand with Volkswagen and Kia. With Hyundai and Kia, right?
Right.
That they're going to call it Volkswagen. That's super confusing.
Yeah, they're thinking about doing it for the Gen. Here's the deal: they accidentally put out a press release saying it. Okay, so they were like, "Oh, wait a minute, what is this press release?" They did it prematurely, and so it's kind of freaking everybody out. And they still have the same VW, but you know, seeing as how they want to go all electric. So they're thinking in the U.S. it would be the Volkswagen, V-O-L-T. And so you're right. It's going to be – actually, it would be – they would change out the K to a T. And I'm like, are you guys idiots or what?
I mean, look, you and I were in Los Angeles when they rolled out the first line of this at the car show in L.A. And we were like, okay, they look like vehicles you would see like on Scooby-Doo. They were all lit up in neon colors. They were very bright. They were very eye-catching.
They were awesome.
They were awesome. They were prototypes, right? They weren't actually going to be, you know, I've not seen – that was in 2018. It's now in 2021. I have not seen one of those vehicles on the road yet, okay? Those are just spec vehicles. But I know that Volkswagen had – I mean, I feel like they must feel like the world is coming into their space because they went first by making these declarations of like, we're going all EV. This is going to be our branding. This is going to be our space, right? Mm-hmm. And then like GM and Ford and everybody else are like, yep, we're doing it too. And so is this their way of like putting their flag down of saying like,
I don't know whether this is somebody in one of the offices thought it was really a cool idea. And maybe their bosses kind of went, are you crazy? And somehow or other somebody sent this press release out, but it's somebody's going to get spanked on this deal. It really is. It's just, this is crazy if they really do. I can't see them doing it. They just can't do it. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
It really would be.
It really would be. It would be.
People, yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things like where, you know, during the Super Bowl, they run tests like they killed Mr. Peanut during leading up to the Super Bowl. Everybody was like, what are you doing? Like, that's just like, come on. You can't. Like, that's how I feel about this. That like they would do this during like a Super Bowl ad and people would be like, wait, what? What are you doing? And then, like, after the Super Bowl, they'd be like, okay, we're just kidding. That was just
we're just kidding.
Yeah, we didn't really mean that. We're not really doing that. That was just a way of getting attention. I mean, it's crazy because in the now deleted release, the brand, a subsidiary of Volkswagen Group in Germany, announced it would rebrand its U.S. operations Volkswagen of America, said on CNBC. All the brand's battery-powered vehicles would have the exterior Volkswagen badging, while its gas-powered cars would continue to have the VW emblem, according to the release. So that's maybe crazy. Somebody press send inappropriately.
Right. Yeah, I would think they haven't really. Somebody thought that was a great idea, and they was like, "Let me send it to my boss and see what they think." And they accidentally sent it to the public, or to the press. It was crazy.
Gracious, not good. Not what you want. Not good. Horrible, horrible, horrible deal. My
former employee, I'm sure.
Yep. See you later, Mr. PR man. You are a woman. You see you later. Thanks for sending that out. But that was the last email you will be sending on behalf of the Volkswagen Group for that one. All right. Automotive reviews are coming up next. Mike and I will tell you what we've been driving around for this week. And then we got a great interview about a Bugatti coming up all on Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault's back with you here on Let's Talk Wheels. Time for automotive reviews. Mike's got his coming up here in just 1 second. What I was driving this week was a 2021 Mazda 3, 2.5-liter hatchback turbo in the Premium Plus trim. This thing was fun, man. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of small vehicles. However, when you pack a 2.5-liter turbo engine with 250 horsepower and 320 pounds of torque, this thing moves. Six-speed automatic? This was fun for a car that can go, you know, 0 to 60, 5.6 seconds. I mean, this is a Mazda, and it's a Mazda 3. It's, you don't expect the car to have as much pump and pop and really much as power as it does. I was really impressed with this vehicle. And look, I mean, the price tag is going to start somewhere around $30,000. So it's not a car for your first entry buyer. It's somebody who is looking for a smaller vehicle, somebody who maybe lives in the city, but wants to have some really nice interior features. This is a really comfortable vehicle. It is, you know, I had it in white with a really nice dark and brown color scheme, dark black and brown color scheme, which I really, really liked. Dark wheels, which were really nice, 18-inch Ford wheels that really stood out. A 12-speaker Bose audio system that was crystal clear. I really liked it a lot. I mean, it felt more like a European car than a Mazda, to be quite honest. And I think if you're somebody who is looking for a vehicle that's going to overperform what it looks like, I love hatchbacks. I've always loved hatchbacks. There's not a ton of room in the back seat. That's the only kind of knock on this thing, but you know, if you don't need a ton of room in the back seat, but you want some trunk space, got some really nice trunk space. And I think it's, you know, the vehicle I tested was somewhere around like $33,000, $34,000. And you can get this kind of up and down depending on what you want to add to it. But I found this thing to be very fun to drive. I found it to be very smooth. It was very quiet. The infotainment system with Mazdas are just outstanding. I mean, I've always been just a monster fan of what they do and how they bring what they bring to the table. So the interior is super nice. It's very luxurious. It feels more mature, I guess is probably the better word that people have been using about this vehicle. It's a little more grown up. It doesn't feel like a college kid's car. It feels like more of a commuter person's car. I mean, the touchscreen is really nice, and I'm just a very big fan of what Mazda's got for just on the steering wheel, how easy it is to turn between different, you know, your nav systems and your Apple CarPlay, and how easy it is to adjust everything in the vehicle, really. But, you know, just your stereo is very simple to toggle between different inputs, and it's very nice. Sight lines are really nice, very smooth, very nice seats. Again, I think the back seat's probably the biggest knock on this because the back seat's not that big. But the engine is really fun to drive. Suspension hugs corners. I mean, the grill for Mazda is your typical Mazda grill. It's striking, cool headlights, you know, just black wheels. And the power is there. I mean, it is a fun vehicle to drive. And you could say, you know, it's a knockoff of a luxury sedan. It's not that, you know, not that expensive, but it's, yeah. I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. I would recommend this thing. If you're looking for a commuter car that's not your typical commuter car, if you're looking for something that doesn't need a big back seat, but it's got some great space, if you're looking for something that's going to give you some options in the rear from a you know, just overall cargo space, you know, it's easy, it's quick, it's fast off the line. Gas mileage is good. It feels really luxurious and smooth. Great infotainment system. Definitely check this out. And I'm a big fan of sports sedans. I don't know if I'd call this a sports sedan, but it's definitely got more pep and pop than your typical Mazda 3. And when you drive it, I think you got to drive it to fully understand what I mean. I would definitely test drive this. And if you're comfortable giving your kid maybe a car that's got a bit more performance on it, if he or she is looking for a little bit more of a fun ride, this thing's awesome. This thing's a lot of fun to tool around with and run around town with. And yeah, it's not the biggest of vehicles, but it definitely gets there when you want it to get there and punch it. So definitely check it out. The Mazda 3 Hatchback Turbo 2021 Premium Plus. All right, Mike, what were you driving around this week?
Folks, this week I was driving the 2021 Dodge Durango Hellcat Edition. Now, this is an awesome vehicle. They're only making it right now. They're saying it for 2021. Let's hope they're going to do it for longer because this thing is awesome. It is a bargain, by the way. Let's start off right there. It starts off at about $80,000 for this one. It's top of the line, loaded, everything on it. Engine, this is everything. 710 horsepower, 6.2 liter Hemi with an 8-speed transmission. Bulletproof power plant. Tried, true. I know people that have beaten the heck out of these things and have 100,000 miles on them with never any problems. Performance? It's got it. 0 to 60, 3.5 seconds, 11.5 seconds in the quarter mile at 180 miles an hour. But you know what? You want capability? It'll tow 8,700 pounds. This is a nice three-row SUV, which happens to be the most powerful SUV ever. Now, this is similar to the Jeep Trackhawk, which I loved, and it's all-wheel drive. And this will, you know, the way it transfers the power in a turn and things like that, it keeps you from getting in trouble. Now, even if you want to take it to the track day, it's got modes, drive modes, speed, street, sport, track. You can set up your own custom one. You can set up for snow. It has launch control, launch assist. It's got big Brembo brakes. It'll stop it, you know, from 70 miles an hour. It'll haul that thing down in a little over 160 feet. I mean, it's just really stock on nine. It's got huge 20-inch wheels, and they're 10 inches wide. This thing just looks good. It's got a big fascia, big wide wheels and tires. It's easy to see that this is a Hellcat Durango. Now, the Durango's a nice, like I said, three-row SUV, not as big as a Tahoe, but it's not small either. It's not like a Honda Pilot. It's bigger than that. This is just like kind of like a nice size. You can pull seats all fold down. You can put all kinds of goodies in there. You can use it as a grocery mobile, but also you can take it to track day. That's what I said. It's just really nice. Inside, very comfortable. It had this little suede leather seating, heated and cooled seats. Very, very nice redesigned center stack. It has the new Uconnect 5 system. Uconnect to me is the best system out there. It seems to work. Every time I need to pair something with it, it does it very quickly. You don't have to take a class over the weekend to try to learn how to use this system. It's very intuitive. The switches on the steering wheel are easy to use. They still gave you knobs for the radio and things like that for old farts like me that like knobs and buttons. Rather than touch screens and things like that, which are kind of hard to do when it's on a bumpy road, things like that. It has all kinds of nice creature comforts, a lot of power plugs, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, wireless charging, nice cup holders, all the good stuff, remote start. Has all the safety features too. It has a really nice adaptive. This one came with adaptive cruise control, which worked very, very well. It had all the lane centering and all of the warnings for getting out of your lane and getting too close and doing this and doing that and blind spot warnings and backup warnings for cross traffic and parking too close to somebody and this kind of stuff. It has all that kind of nice camera views all around. It has all the safety goodies. This thing has been around for a while. It's a little long in the tooth, but you know what? This thing had the hell beat out of it, and journalists have just taken this thing. I'm sure it's just been ringed out everywhere running it. It has no squeaks or rattles. The fit and finish on this thing is amazing. Dodge is right up there in quality on all of the surveys and things like that, and they deserve it. This thing is a wonderful vehicle. The Hellcat is just something that's just fun. I mean, this is outrageous. This is one of those things you pull up, everybody gives you a thumbs up, and people are going, hey, man, this is great, rev it up, and things like that. And it's just, like I said, this is just one of those outrageous vehicles. But you can still, if you want to go to the grocery store with it, you want to go pull an In-N-Out Burger or Whataburger, like if you're in Texas, you're fine. Okay, as long as you don't mind stopping and having everybody look. I had a state trooper. I was stopped, and he goes, man, can I look at that? I went, sure. I pulled over and let him look at it. He goes, man, this is so nice. You know, I had one of these a couple of years ago. It wasn't like this. And I was like, yeah, and so it's just people love this thing. There's kind of like they call it the Dodge Brotherhood, and it really is true. It's similar to the Jeep Wave. It's just people love them. And if you want to have a really nice SUV that's fun to drive, looks good, good old American muscle, this is one. If you're coming out of a Camry or a Civic or a Prius, this is not going to be the car for you, okay? If you can appreciate American muscle, you're going to love this thing. Check out the 2021 Dodge Durango. And if you can, drive the Hellcat, because I promise you, you're going to love it.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing along with Matt Perrault. Now, today, this is going to be a fun event here because I had a chance to drive this crazy fast Bugatti that's worth $4 million. Of course, everybody knows I had a knee replacement, so obviously I could not do that. But I got my good friend Brian Grant from New Car Spin. It's a YouTube channel, and Brian's awesome at it. And I've got him on the phone right now, and he's going to tell us about his experience in driving something this crazy fast. Brian, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I know, it's exciting. All right, when I had you fill in for me and do some recording on this stuff, what did you think about a Bugatti? Is it a Chiron, right?
Chiron. I call it the Chiron.
That's good enough.
It's yeah, I drove two, actually. So, I mean, the experience was out of this world. I don't know where to start. I mean, we can start with the Chiron Sport.
Okay.
That's a really, really cool car.
Well, let's talk about, real quick, this preface everything. Tell us a little bit about the Bugatti, what it costs, what its top speed is, how much horsepower, and the crazy thing about you can go from Houston to Austin in, what, an hour?
Yeah. It's a crazy car. So it's the most expensive car, most powerful car, and the fastest car I've ever driven. It can go north of 260 miles an hour top speed. It has 1,500 horsepower. And the one I drove was $4 million.
Oh, so did you got one on order already? Is that it?
Yeah. I've got the money transferring right now.
I wish. You know, it's funny. As I get a chance to drive one of the fastest cars in the world, there's very few that are going to be, maybe a Koenigsegg or something like that, is going to be any faster than them. And that was right. The guy goes, only got one day you can do it, and it's like the day after my knee replacement surgery. So I'm glad I got a chance to get you to it. Now tell us, the folks, a little bit about what it feels like to drive something this much horsepower. And I think you had somebody with you from Top Gear, right?
Oh, yeah. I had Jamie Morrow, and he's a really cool stunt driver, and he's won awards, and he's got great talent. And he was in the passenger seat, and he let me take off in the car. And I got to say, it was supernatural. I mean, just flooring the car on the freeway as much as possible was just an incredible experience. It was like the hand of God pushing me into a new dimension. The power was immense.
You know, it's 261 miles an hour. It takes, what is it, how many seconds to get to near top speed?
Oh, I've tried it myself. It's about 2.3 seconds to get to 60 miles an hour. In under 6 seconds, you're already doing 100 miles an hour. So just the math and my brain can't keep up with the car.
I remember you mentioned something about you could take one of them and floor it, but you run out of fuel in how many miles? How many minutes?
Oh, like 18 minutes. I mean, I had 2.5 hours to drive one of the Chirons,
mm-hmm.
which meant that from Houston to Austin, I could have done the drive in like an hour, but I would have had to run out of fuel in 18 minutes. So, you know, you need gas stations quite conveniently along that route. But I think just driving that car in general on the public roads was quite the experience.
Well,
it's 1,500 horsepower. Just letting it rip is amazing.
That's crazy. But, you know, this is one of those vehicles that people say, you know, this is a $20,000 oil change because they have to disassemble half the car and things like that. And, you know, the Bugatti Veyron, which is the less expensive version of it, I think it's around $2 million. It's a bargain. But these things, it's crazy. Where are they built?
Well, they're actually owned by Volkswagen. And so Bugatti is originally a French company, and so right now they're going to be run by Porsche. So where they're going to be built is anyone's guess, but right now they're quite spectacularly put together. The EB itself stands for Ettore Bugatti. So the guy was actually Italian, but wanted to be French.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't we all? What the hell? But, you know, it's just, I mean, just thinking, I mean, what I'm thinking, what person buys? I mean, how many of these can the dealers sell in a year? A couple, I guess. I mean, you sell a $4 million car, that's going to be a pretty good commission for the salesman. You know, wouldn't you think?
I would think so, but they're only making 500 for the entire world.
Oh.
And, yeah, they already sold 300 of them when they came out of the gate.
You're kidding. 300 people immediately plucked down $4 million to buy them, huh? Wow. I mean,
yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, okay, what, why don't I just buy a corporate jet, you know? But some people just buy this car, won't they?
I guess. I mean, the rumor is that you actually are interviewed if you want to buy a car. Like, they won't let an investor buy a car. They'll let a true enthusiast buy a car.
Oh, okay. Ford does that with the GT, Ford GT, and then you can't sell it for so many months or so many, like a year until after you buy it, because they don't want you just trying to flip them and make money. Although, for $4 million, how much more is it going to, you know, can you make off of that one? But the sales tax alone would probably kill you, be more than some people's house. But this is like a really experience. Now, when you were driving it around, you're kind of in the gallery area of Houston, so you were kind of in a pretty congested area. I mean, how many people would look over there and see? Did you see any people waving or anything like that?
Everywhere. I had people giving me thumbs up. I had people flashing their lights, honking their horn, you know, waving. It was quite the experience. And, of course, people were egging me on and you know, they had a hard time catching back up. But I think that the experience was surreal because I figured I'd be really nervous driving a $4 million car on mm-hmm. public roads in traffic. But my adrenaline was pumping, and people were keeping a bit of a distance, and they were just in awe. You know, they were taking good shots. I could tell it was going to go on Instagram and all over the Internet. So it was a cool experience.
You know, that is really a cool thing. Now this is the Pure Sport was the faster one. The other one is still pretty fast too, isn't it? The other version.
Okay, so it's weird. You'd think the Pure Sport would be faster, but the top speed is actually lower.
Oh,
and that's because they did some technical changes to it to make it more of a. It's more like riding a lightning bolt. Actually, it goes from corner to corner better. So you could be a little bit more aggressive with it than you could with the Chiron Sport.
Oh, okay. So the Pure Sport's a little bit more than the Sport, obviously. But so it's going to be handling. It's like more. It's more closer to being a regular race car.
Oh, exactly. They added negative camber. They got rid of the dynamic wing and put on a fixed rear wing. They gave it softer compound tires. They lowered the gear ratio and the transmission, which is a dual clutch. And it's just a more aggressive vehicle because there's more of an exhaust sound because it's a 3D printed titanium exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
They went all out on this Pure Sport.
Okay. Tell us about the engine. I know it's pretty exotic.
Oh, my gosh. This engine is 16 cylinders, and it's 8 liters, and it has 64 valves and 32 fuel injectors.
Okay, so that's like four Camry four-cylinders.
it's a lot. I mean, there's 1,500 horsepower and 1,180 foot-pounds of torque coming out of it. And four turbos. So the power is just immediate. And the sound is remarkable. You know, you start putting your foot into it, you get above 3,000 RPM, and all four turbos are starting to spool up and the power just unleashes. The experience of the car, even at idle, it just sounds amazing. It sounds like you're going somewhere when you're just parked. I think that everyone should just listen to a W16 engine because the experience is.
You know, you're right. I had somebody explain to me that sounds like you're standing next to an F-16 or something. You know what I mean? With that kind of power.
Totally.
And so, all right. So now, you went to what dealer to go see it?
This was actually at Bugatti Houston, which is in the Post Oak area.
Okay, yeah. And so it's right near their state, right near by the network station. And, it's just what an experience. You know, it was really something that new. Now, also, but let's kind of get off the subject a little second. You have New Car Spin. So tell the folks about your YouTube channel.
Oh, cool. Yeah, my channel is on YouTube. It's 16,000 and somewhat subscribers. I'm a little non-traditional in the way I do my YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't edit. I keep it as real as it gets.
Sure.
And I'm there to put the spin on new cars. I don't fluff anything up, as you know. So I tell it like it is. I don't cut the camera, and people get to see the full experience. So I actually have both of these Bugattis on my channel.
Mm-hmm.
They're about an hour long each, so you can see the experience from start to end. And especially in the Chiron Sport, like where I first drove it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting there with Jamie Morrow from Top Gear, like, all right, what should I expect here? You know, like, what's going to happen? And then, you know, this whole experience is just on camera for everybody to watch.
Okay, so when you rated this thing, you rate this car what, a 10?
Oh, it's an 11.
Okay, but you know, how could you do that when it doesn't have cup holders? Come on.
You know, I totally get that, but I think you don't have time to take a sip out of a water bottle when you're trying to do what this car can do. So I think it doesn't even have a screen for your infotainment. Like, there's no map. There's no display in the center. Your eyes are up, and you are driving. This car is so focused that cup holders are, I mean, they don't make any sense in this car.
Yeah, I'm just joking, but you know, you're right. People go, I had somebody ask me, I said, you're going to drive this thing, but what's the fuel economy? And I was like, you don't buy this for fuel economy. Come on, go back to your Prius if you want fuel economy, right?
The fuel economy is 18 minutes.
18 minutes for a tank of fuel.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, it's like I'm going to go across town with the Bugatti, and I'll go fill up. I just go from gas station to gas station, right?
Yeah, you'll see them there.
That's crazy. I mean, and of course they're going to build five of them for the world. This is like an experience, hadn't it been?
Oh, yeah. I definitely cherish the moment, and it was definitely a bucket list check mark, and I love driving both of them. The Sport is like a jet, and the Pure Sport is definitely more of a race car feel, and it's a little bit more aggressive, and it's so connected that you lose all sense of fear in this car. Oh. It is crazy.
Yeah, but it's pretty electronic and everything else. All right. Brian, thanks again for driving it for us. I mean, sounds funny me trying to thank you for driving this car for me instead of me. But, you know, I had the knee surgery, so what the heck, you know. But thanks for covering it for us, buddy.
Yeah, Mike, gotcha. Anytime, man.
All right, folks. That was
thanks for having me on.
All right, that was Brian Grant from our friends at New Car Spin. Check out his YouTube channel. It's really cool, really cool thing. Now, don't go away. There's still more to come, including our weekly classic car segment with Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. We're going to talk about some really cool classic car stuff, and we've got some really interesting stuff this week, and there's a lot of cars up there for sale on their site. So all of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. That conversation was a lot of fun. I don't think I'll ever drive a Bugatti, Mike, but if I ever do, I definitely want to experience after hearing that interview. So,
yes, good way to spend $4 million. I don't think
I've
so.
I've only been in the presence of a Bugatti once. And there's a guy in Boston who owns the largest car dealership group. Mm-hmm. I think he has like 35 dealerships in the Boston area, and he drives a Bugatti. And it's like known that where he lives in the area he lives in Boston, that he'll park it on the street. Like people will walk by and take their Instagram photos and whatnot in front of it. And I'm always like, I can't imagine having that much money that I could park a Bugatti on the street and just be like, you know, it's a Bugatti.
Anything that takes more than $21,000 for an oil change, I think I probably will pass on.
$21,000 on an oil change.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my.
You have to disassemble half the car to do an oil change. But, you know,
it is. Is it at least 5,000 miles? Can you at least get synthetic?
I'm sure it's 5,000.
Can you at least get a synthetic blend out of that?
I'm sure.
My goodness. All right. You guys can hear Mike talk to our friend Jeremy Barenbaum with our Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast, classic.com, talking about everything going on with classic cars every week. That's the extra bonus little segment you get when you go and listen to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. For Mike Herzing, I'm Matt Peralta. We'll be back next week, same place, same time, for Let's Talk Wheels here on Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Let's Talk Wheels Classic Car segment. As usual, we have a resident car guru, Jeremy Barenbaum from classic.com. That's C-L-A-S-I-Q. Jeremy, what's been happening in L.A. this week?
Oh, not too much. You know, just working on my Lincoln Zephyr every week, a little bit more. It seems like sometimes it's five steps forward and three steps back. But what can you do? That's working on classic cars.
Yeah, same thing. I did that with my 46 Jeep Willys and my Army Jeep. And, yeah, it's waiting on parts and this or that. And I'll go and I'll screw up something and go, oh, darn it, I got to order this. And I'd order one little $8 piece, and it's held me up for 2 weeks and things like that. But your site, man, you got
to – Are you still
– Yeah.
Are you still working on it from when that trailer at the gas station?
Nope. Now that where that idiot hit it, nope. That I had that fixed, but I'm just rebuilding the steering box and some other stuff so it'll steer a little bit better. And that thing has a turning radius of a school bus, even though it's such a tiny vehicle. It's real funny. We won the war. So
it's such a short wheelbase.
Yeah, it's such a short wheelbase, you think it would turn sharper than it does. But maybe that's okay because that way you don't kill yourself on the road. But, you know, we've got a lot – the spring is here, and we've got a lot of swap meets and stuff coming up. And one of the biggest swap meets in the country is a thing called the Pate Swap Meet, which is started in 1972. It's here in Texas at Texas Motor Speedway. They've been doing it since, the mid-70s, late 70s. And it's 70 different car clubs got together, and they started doing these swap meets. This was kind of before Internet. And they're going into their 49th year of doing this. And every year, I mean, of course, we had to skip 2020, but in 2019, they had about 120,000 people there. There's like 16 miles of, if you walked all of the roads here, all of the vendors and all of the streets here, and it would be about 16 miles of parts and accessories and memorabilia and everything. Have you ever, how popular are those kind of things in California?
Yeah, you know, we have a big one called the Pomona Swap Meet, which is very similar. I don't know in size-wise, but, you know, it feels like you're walking 16 miles as you're going through the aisles, and it seems like each aisle your brain gets a little bit more overloaded with things you're seeing. You really have to go in there with an idea of what you're looking for and maybe even a map or an overview of the place so you know where you can get to. Otherwise, you miss half the swap meet just trying to figure out where you are.
Well, you know, what's funny is about 3 years ago I was here, maybe 4 years ago I was going to Pate, and I told one of the producers, and he goes, oh, man, what? He goes, his name is Chris, and he goes, I got a 40 model Ford I'm working on, a 49 model Ford, and I need a timing cover for it. It's a flathead V8. And he said, you should be able to find one. It shouldn't be expensive. And I'm like, right. I walk into Pate. And a buddy of mine meets me there to help me get me all set up. And he goes, I said, by the way, I've got to find this timing cover for this 49 Ford, flathead V8. The guy goes, oh, right there. Literally 8 feet away was two of them. And the guy wanted like $20 for it. It was all bead blasted and clean. And I'm like, Jesus, I found the part in 5 minutes. I mean, I've seen everything. I've got a friend of mine who is she's an interior designer, and she does a lot of stuff with restaurants. Okay. And a lot of the things in restaurants, you'll make it, you know, with all these old classic knickknacks and things like that. You know, a grill or a gas pump that's been restored or something like that. And sometimes
a lot of Americana.
Right, Americana stuff. You know, and I know people that go there just to load up on that. I remember I bought a traffic light a couple years ago, and I have it on my lake house in the back deck. And I bought a controller for it for $20, and it just flashes, you know, red, yellow, and green, you know, green, yellow, red. And it's really kind of fun. And it's one of those things that I've got a buddy of mine that went and bought the front end of a 55 Chevy truck. And it was pretty rusted bad, you know, pretty bad the body was, but he just wanted the front clip. And then he put a couch there, made it into a couch. So it's really cool stuff.
Yeah, I really love the swap meet culture, and it kind of seems like it was the place before, you know, eBay, Craigslist, all the internet stuff that you're buying now. The swap meets were the place to go to actually get stuff. You had people that were bringing it there that were highly motivated to sell it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't tons of, oh my God, I have a piece of gold, it's worth, you know, $5,000. No. The prices are very fair because, you know, it's the actual community out there buying stuff. And then you also have, like you said, the creative side of it, where you have people that are buying for restaurants, for homes. There are people making art. Nowadays, you're seeing these tables that are made out of tailgates or right. out of engine blocks, and there are pistons popping out, and they're holding pieces of glass. It's a really cool place to find anything within the classic car culture. It doesn't even have to be for cars particularly, but you'll find like everything is rooted within, you know, this world that we all love so much.
Yeah, transportation. And there's this craziest things. I saw somebody had a majorette hat, you know, and I'm thinking, that's crazy. But, I mean, it looked like something out of a 50s movie. And then cheerleader stuff. And they're just anything. It's just right.
Now, do they kind of break up the paint swap meet so there are different areas or sections, like the VW area might be in one place, and then there might be a Ford or Chevy area somewhere else, or is it kind of just a crapshoot in terms of everybody scattered around?
It's hit or miss in a lot of it. Some of it will be pre-war one side and post-war one side, but they've got an app this year that'll, if you're looking for something, you can go and find it on the app. This is where you're at. This is where you need to go. That's the greatest thing that they've done recently, because they've got 8,400 vendor spots sold. And so these people are just chomping a bit. It's like a giant garage sale with cool car parts. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's not only just car parts for sale. There's probably a whole section where there are actual cars for sale too. That's correct, right?
Right. They have something called a car corral. And they'll have about 300 to 400 cars. As a matter of fact, they're doing a thing. This is this year. It's April 22nd through 24th. They expect a little over 100,000 people going through there, even with all Texas has opened up for COVID, but they're still going to do temperature checks and things like that, and going to have some social distancing and all that. But, you know, all you pay for is parking at Texas Motor Speedway. That you don't pay for the get into the event. And so,
oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
I know Pomona in LA, you got to pay a little door fee or whatever, but it's worth it.
No, I mean this is it's just all you do is pay for parking, and they're having a big charity car show that goes for men's health charities, and that's on Saturday, and it's called Wheels for Wellness, and they were doing all this stuff that for men's prostate health and cancer awareness, and so it's really a great event. It kind of helps with charities, and it's just all this great Americana. You know, it's rather than buying
it's a couple days.
You buy some off eBay, it's a hit or miss. It might be a Chinese copy, or it might be the original. This one, you're looking at it, and it is original. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And you have people there that can give you the information that are really highly knowledgeable on the parts that they have for sale, which is really nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, if you're interested in going to this, it's just a cool event. It's a very, very family-oriented. It's you can go to pateswapmeet.com, and they've got a really nice website where you can check all that out. I think we're going to have some of this information up on classic.com. And it's a great event, Jeremy. I wish you could have made it out for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be for this year, but definitely for next year. It's been on my list of, you know, car shows and events that I've wanted to attend within the country. You know, one note I'll give is one of my favorite things to do at swap meets is you either want to be there, you know, the first hour of the morning because that's where you find the coolest shit before it sells,
yeah,
or you want to be there at the end, the last hour of the day, because that's where you can get some good deals when you say to someone, hey, let me take it away from you so you don't have to load it back up in your trailer.
Yeah, you know, you're right. That's right. All right, Jeremy, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in the podcast today. If you have any car questions, email us at info@letstalkwheels.com. We're going to work to get everybody an answer. And remember, you can find us on our website, letstalkwheels.com, on social media, everything else. Please tell your friends about the podcast. If you have some, I hope I have a couple. One, that's just Jeremy. And ask them to subscribe if you can. We really appreciate it. So on behalf of Matt Peralt, Jeremy Barenbaum, and myself, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels podcast. And as always, I'm Mike Herzing, and happy motoring.